have shown up this weekend in the next part of our 11-part series about how God can help you become the most beautiful version of you. How many of you want to live your best life? Let me see your hands. It takes God's help, but the promise is it's possible. And the Bible is so specific in giving us the exact attributes that go into making us our most beautiful self. Like, I feel like the purpose of my life is to help people become the highest and best version of who they are, and to be the highest and best version of who you are, to reach your highest and best God-given potential. These nine attributes are a part of the deal. And that's why we're taking, you know, 3 months here to study these together. Today's topic is kindness. Kindness. Now, I know, kind of on its face, kindness. I mean, even to me, as I say it, it sounds a little wimpy. Like, okay, just be kind. Ah. No, it's, we're going to get into it. But I want you to know, don't get lost just in the sound of the word kind. There's some strength and power in it, and we're going to uncover it today. The great English writer, Aldous Huxley, he was a pioneer in the study of human development, how humans can reach their highest and best potential. And in a lecture, I mean, he gave his whole life, he was an academic, he gave his whole life to the study of us reaching our highest potential. And at the end of his life, people asked him, what is the most effective technique? The most effective technique in transforming our life. And he said, it's a little embarrassing that after all these years of research, my best answer is to just be a little kinder. That's the paradox of the power of kindness. It doesn't feel powerful when you say it. It doesn't sound powerful when you say it. But in fact, it's probably in the disarming simplicity of kindness that it sneaks up on us. And Huxley said the number one way to transform your life is to use this in your life. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Because simply put, kindness is the foundation of a good heart. And with a good heart, what's going to happen? Good life will follow. Let me ask you a question. Who's been unkind to someone this week? Don't point. But if it's you, raise your hand. Who's like, I could probably have been a little nicer then. You know, that was a little sharp. I said it too fast, or, you know, I honked my horn a little too many times, you know, in traffic or something like that. How many of you have had somebody be unkind to you this week? Don't point. But again, say like a little bit, like it just kind of hit you. You know, it's like, man, life's hard enough. We don't have to be that way with each other. Traffic is one of those places where it seems to happen all the time. It's happening on airplanes all the time. But I read this story about a guy in traffic, and here's what he said. And just, these are his words, not mine. Women drivers are hazardous to traffic. This is what he said. This is what he said. I was driving into town this morning on the interstate when I looked to my left, and there was a woman in a brand new Mustang doing 65 miles an hour with her face right up next to the rearview mirror, putting on her makeup. I looked away for a second, he said, and the next thing I knew, she swerved halfway into my lane, all the while still putting on her makeup. Guy said, it scared me so badly, I dropped my electric razor, which knocked the donut out of my other hand, and in all the confusion, trying to straighten out my car while driving with my knees, my cell phone fell between my face and my shoulder, landed in my coffee cup, coffee went everywhere, burning me where I didn't want to be burned. And then he ended it by saying, women drivers. We see the unkindness or the behavior of others and we judge it pretty hard. But in fact, we're the ones that probably need this message. Look at the verse we've been studying for all of these weeks, and we're taking it basically word for word. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives. We're not talking about you do your best. This is talking about God helping. And when God shows up, He will produce. This is the promise. I love this. Like, if we do this well, we let God do His work right, He'll do His work. He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Let's say it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I want you to notice something in these verses. A lot of people get this wrong. And I'll even hear people who've studied the Bible a long time get this wrong. They will say the word, let's go back to it. They'll say the word fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. But notice, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. No S on that. Let me tell you the implication of that. This is all one whole. This is all part of the same. It's kind of looking at a prism. It's one prism, and you turn it a certain way, and you're going to see different colors. But it's just one prism and one light going through it, but it just manifests in different ways. You can't have just part of this. All of this grows in you. Does this make sense to you? Oh, so in other words, I'll pick love, and I'll pick... I'll just pick love, I'll take love for 500, Alex, No, you don't just get to pick. It's not multiple choice. All of this is simultaneously developing in us. So when you think of having, peace or patience, don't you see how that would also be connected to love? Like if you're a loving person, don't you see how that would lead you to be a gentle person? They just go together. This is the life you and I were created to live, and it's all of this. It's all of this. Give me an example of this. The Apostle Paul wrote this: love is kind. Love, kindness, tied together, interconnected. Can't have kindness without love. Can't have love without kindness. So that takes us right up to our first point. Check this out. I hope you have your notes in front of you. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is love in action. We're going to start unearthing kind of the power of this, because this is an active attribute. It's not passive. It's not neutral. It's not boring. It's not stagnant. Kindness does stuff. Kindness actively loves. I read a survey that found the top 10 things that are most important in relationships. Like if you want to do a relationship right, these are the top 10 things that people say we need for our relationship to be good. Top 10. How many of you want to know these? Like top 10. For instance, looks or appearance, like how someone looks, that's down there number 7. Having money, number 8. Good sense of humor, 3rd. Out of every quality that you could possibly imagine or name, number 2 was kindness. We want to be around kind people. We want to have a relationship with kind people. We are attracted to kind people. Of course, you're probably curious about number 1, right? It's people who love dogs and not cats. Number 1, it's science. I did make that up. Number 1 was actually commitment to the relationship. Commitment to the relationship, number 1. Kindness, number 2. Jesus tells a story, and in his story, I think we see with clarity, love in action. We see kindness in action. In your Bible, in the New Testament, there's a book called Luke, and in Luke chapter 10, we find this story. Now, as I read the story, I want you to watch for two guys who lived their life like I think most people live their life. They're just doing their own thing, into their own agenda, and basically nothing's going to get them out of their own head doing their own thing. You'll see these two guys. I want you to look for them. And then you're going to see one guy who really lived the life that God created us to live. So 3 guys we're going to be looking for. 2 who are doing their own thing, 1 who does it right. Here we go. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. That road, by the way, was notoriously dangerous. And then, inevitably, look, he was attacked by bandits. Now, they stripped him of his clothes. They took his money. They beat him up. Now, he's beaten so badly, Jesus said the man is half dead. He's in very, very bad shape. By chance, a Jewish priest came along. Now, let's just stop right there. Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience. And right now, they're probably on their tiptoes going, oh, good. Pastor's coming. Pastor's going to help this guy. Our religious leader. That's good. So this man's in bad shape, but whew, good. Jewish priest, first one along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Now Jesus' audience is going, what? Wait a minute. What? That's who we would have expected to help. Like it was a Jewish man who was beaten, and it's a Jewish priest who came by. I mean, ethnically, racially, there should have been some affinity there. They should have helped each other. Nope. Next, temple assistant, church secretary, walks over, looks at him. It's more than the first guy. But he also passed by on the other side. Now Jesus' audience is starting to get uncomfortable. Jesus, you're starting to make us look bad. That's not what we would have expected. Then a despised Samaritan. I got to give you a little cultural background here. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. That's an understatement. They hated each other. And you need to know, this was generational hatred. Generational hatred. Like grandfather told your father, you hate these people. Both sides were doing this. And then father told son, we hate these people. And both sides were doing this. So the two you would expect were not the ones who showed up. But the one who you don't expect, his enemy basically an enemy, the despised Samaritan came along, and look at this, when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. The word pity is most closely aligned with our English word for spleen. Have you ever felt compassion for someone and you feel it's almost like the nerve endings in your stomach? You feel something like when compassion really hits you. That's the idea here. Like this man, he felt something. And then the Bible says, and kneeling beside him. Now stop for a minute there. He saw him and he did something. He saw him and he did something. Remember our point? Kindness is love in action. It's not just love. Oh, love you, see you. Love you, mean it, bye. Love you. Saw him, felt it, active. You with me? All right. So, kneeling beside him. Let me just stop there for a second. The first two guys seem to be in a hurry. Would you agree with that? Places to go, things to do, people to see. Very busy people. This guy was probably busy too. And now do you see why I had to teach patience last week before I could teach kindness this week? You see how those two ideas are connected? Like I can't rush through life if I'm going to do this right. I can't make it work according to the clock all the time if I'm going to do this right. How many of you think sometimes we're not kind because we're impatient? What if I could? Don't have time. I'm on my way, right? Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothes his wounds with medicine and bandages them. Then, look, puts him on his own donkey. So now he's walking. Takes him to a hotel, and he takes care of him. Spends the night taking care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two pieces of silver, and he said, I need you now to continue this man's care. And if his bill runs higher than the money I just gave you, I'll pay the difference. So he's a businessman. I'll be coming back. Next time I'm passing this way, I'll stop in. You keep the bill, and I will pay it. Now, I don't know what a comparison would be, like in 2024, between, you know, Jews and Samaritans in that culture and us. But you need to understand, Jesus was not just describing kindness. Jesus was describing a radical picture of kindness between sworn enemies. Radical stuff. Be like a USC student helping a UCLA student. Radical. radical stuff. Someone sent me a little story about the UCLA football player walking down the street with a USC football player. UCLA football player says, if you can guess how many donuts I have in this bag, I'll give you both of them. USC player said, three? I'm an equal opportunity offender, right? Everybody gets hit. Your turn's coming. We might have moments of kindness in our life, but radical kindness like Jesus described, consistent kindness like Jesus described, that's our struggle. This is why we need God. Like, we might stumble and be kind accidentally, occasionally. It's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a lifestyle of being kind to the hardest person you can imagine being kind to. Takes God's help to pull that off. Listen, it starts with the nature of God. See, the Bible tells us over and over again, this is what God is like, that God is kind. This might be new information for some of you. You might not conceive of a God who's kind, but we're told over and over again that he is. Just real quickly. Psalm 145, verse 7. He is filled with what? Kindness. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you realize how what? And what? And what? God is with you. Look at this. He is so rich in what? And then, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is how we couldn't become Christian if God wasn't kind. He would just reject us. He'd just kick us out. He'd tell us we don't deserve it. It's only because he's kind that he has received us and accepted us. The Bible tells us this. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? What does that mean? If he was mean, we wouldn't turn to him. Does that make sense? If we're going to show up and he's going to hit us, we're not going to show up. It's because he's kind that we turn from sin, our own way of living, and we turn to his way of living. We have to get this part. This attribute, kindness, all starts with God. It comes to us from God. It's only by his kindness that we can have this power to live this way with other people. Most people, I think, fundamentally misunderstand the very nature of God. Like, if I were to ask you, when you think of God, do you think of him being kind? I wonder how many different answers we would get. Just walk with Jesus for a little bit. Like, read the New Testament and look at the life of Jesus. What we know about Jesus is that Jesus was God with skin. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus showed us who God is and what he's like. So the question, was Jesus kind? And you just follow his story. As we have four biographies about the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. First four books of the Christian scriptures, and it's the life of Jesus, and was he kind? And you see over and over again, him going to people who needed help or needed healing or needed a conversation or needed their inner working challenged and corrected so they could live a better way. He pointed people to the road to heaven. He shed tears at the gravesite of his friends. He taught a little knot of his followers how to pray because they asked him to teach them. He explained scripture one afternoon to two disciples walking to a city called Emmaus. He broiled fish by a fire on the beach so that his disciples could have breakfast after a long, cold night of fishing. I mean, over and over and over, Jesus, Son of God, was amazingly kind. And so when we turn from a life of doing what we want, like those first two guys, we turn to God and we ask him to take us into his family. He's not mad and he's not unkind. He receives us into his very own family because he's kind. Now catch this. God in his kindness builds kindness in us. He shows us kindness, then he plants kindness in us. Now look what happens. Then it invades. Then it inhabits. Then it transforms our life. God is kind, puts it in us, it takes over, and our life changes. Does this make sense? Remember what Jesus said, it's like a branch connected to a vine, draws all of its power, all of its life from the vine. When we are connected to a kind God, guess what's going to flow into us? His kindness. Guess what we're going to become? Kind. Guess what's going to flow through us? Same answer. Kindness. So all the life, all the power, all the nutrients, all the strength, all the help, God does that in you. God produces his fruit in us, and then we share that fruit with others. Say that with me. God produces his fruit in us, and then we... You know, I don't think God can stand the thought of all the unkindness that's in our world right now. All the rampant hard-heartedness that's a part of our culture right now. That's why God took it upon himself to delegate to the Holy Spirit the task of manufacturing in us character qualities so that we would fundamentally be different, so that we could help change our world. This is what it means to live a beautiful life. Here's your second point. To live a beautiful life, I need God's help. To live a beautiful life, I need God's help. I wonder if you would like to tap into the power of kindness. Who would? Who'd like to know about the power of kindness? I mean, do you even see kindness as having power? Let me show a little bit of it to you. Kindness has the power to disarm. It has the power to disarm. In the story of Luke chapter 10, there was potentially an explosive encounter that could have happened between the Jewish man and the Samaritan man, these two long-standing enemies. And yet, that potential bomb was disarmed because of kindness. This past week, I called about an extended warranty item in our home. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm calling for customer service, I get a little battle ready. Like, I get mad having to first press which language I'm going to speak in, and then I have to listen at least twice to the whole, because their menu items have changed. Has everybody changed their menu items? I didn't know about it. Like, let's all do it at the same time. Go. They all change. So I said, was it 4? Was it 3? What do I press? I said, press it 9 to listen to it. I listen to it again. Finally, I get the right number, right? And then he asked me question after question. I just want to talk to a person. So I find myself screaming, representative, representative, person, human. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Steadied my nerves. Put on my armor. Picked up my phone, made the call. I'm strong like that. I was greeted by the most pleasant person that I had encountered in a long, long time. Her name was Sarah. Hi. I'm Sarah, and it would be my privilege to assist you. Sarah, could you start by taking off the doggone menu? Could you do that for me? I didn't say that. See, what I thought would be a tense encounter, just because she was nice. It wasn't like a slow melt. Like, it just washed away my anger, just because she was kind. The Bible tells us this is true. An anxious heart weighs a man down. But what happens? A kind word, what? Cheers him up. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Like, this is even good for your health, to be kind. So are your replies to people abrupt? Are you kind of in a hurry? I don't have time for you. Make it quick. Like, what I'm doing is more important than anything you might have to say. Do you come across ever as like cutting people off and you're harsh? The Bible says if our words, and let's just say behavior, is like honey, it's going to be good for our soul. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. You want to know the power of kindness? It disarms. If you're going to go into a conflicted conversation, determine to be kind and watch the whole dynamic of that encounter change. Who's with me? Making sense?
Yes.
All right. Kindness also puts you in the zone. Puts you in the zone. You felt this. I hope you have felt this. You exhibit kindness to someone. You show up in the way that you're proud of yourself for showing up. And you do something spontaneous. Your words are tender. They're not harsh. You feel it. You feel good about yourself. And it's like something inside of you responds, yes. That's what you were made to be. That's who you really are. That's God's design for your life. This is the life I'm supposed to experience. And in those moments of kindness, you've not only created something within you, you've created kind of this zone of kind energy around you. It's like you've lit a warming fire in the middle of a shivering cold world. Kindness does that. You know what? Kindness also comes back. It comes back. There's a great proverb on this. Look at this. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. So if you're kind, a benefit is coming back. If you're mean, mean is coming back. It's kind of you reap what you sow. You put kindness out there, you're going to have a harvest of kindness. Someone smarter than me said, be nice to people on your way up because you're going to meet them again on your way down. And you want to be nice because when you're going down, you want them to be nice to you. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't it make sense that we should be kind to people because we never know when we might need kindness ourselves? Does that make sense to you? It does to me. Because let's be honest. You could be the next one to struggle. I could be the next one to struggle. You could be the next one to cave into temptation. You could be the next one to have your life fall apart unexpectedly. And if you have put a whole lot of kindness out there, a lot of kindness will come back when you need it. And everybody needs kindness. Bosses need kindness. Leaders need kindness. Spouses do. Kids do. Store clerks do. Friends need it. Be kind, and kindness will come back. Here's one more aspect of the power of kindness. Kindness sets you apart. You want to be a little different in this mean world? Just be nice. Jesus taught this one time because he wanted his followers to be distinct from the world. He wanted the world to see the light that is in us, the difference that Jesus makes for us. So look what he taught. He said, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. In other words, don't just be kind to those that are easy to be kind to, people you like. If you really want to show up as different in this culture, be kind to people that aren't easy to be kind to. Everybody hear that? Those in the back, you can hear me? Let's get practical. Employ a strategy for kindness. Give you a couple points and we're going to be done, all right? Here's strategy number one. Be open to the moments because they're everywhere. Be open to the moments because they're everywhere. There are enough people in this room that are old enough to remember columnist and humorist Irma Bombeck. Who remembers Irma Bombeck? And those of you who don't, she's just this funny, funny lady. She had a newspaper column for years that was just global in its popularity, wrote a lot of books, on talk shows, just very insightful, but she'd share her wisdom with humor. In one of her essays, she wrote, "It was one of those days. My son was telling me in complete detail about a movie I had no desire to see. His speech was punctuated with 3,000, you know, you know, you know. I had three phone calls, all monologues that droned on, and I fought the urge to say, hey, it's been great listening to you." I mean, see, that's how she would respond. "On the way to the airport, my taxi driver chattered on and on with meaningless small talk. All I wanted was to quietly sit and read my book. At least I had 30 minutes of silence before my plane boarded. But just as my time began, the silence was broken by an elderly woman seated next to me. I bet it'll be cold in Chicago. Likely, I said, not even looking up. The woman went on, I haven't been to Chicago for 3 years. My son lives there. That's nice, Bombeck said coolly. The older woman continued, my husband's body is on this plane. We were married for 53 years. I don't drive, so the funeral director let me ride with him to the airport." Bombeck wrote, "I don't think I ever detested myself more than I did at that moment. Here was another woman screaming to be heard, and in desperation had turned to a complete stranger who was more interested in a book than the real-life drama unfolding at her elbow. This woman needed no advice or money or assistance. She just wanted somebody to listen." Be open to the moments. They're literally everywhere. Philosopher Seneca said, wherever there is a human being, there is a chance for kindness. The Samaritan in Jesus' story knew that. He not only saw the moment, but he seized the moment. The tragic part of Jesus' story is that two other people also saw the moment, but did nothing. The Samaritan let the moment into his heart. The Samaritan let that battered man into his busy schedule. He interrupted his life so that he might just be kind. And it made all the difference. Moments to be kind are all around you. There's a new habit I wish everyone here would employ or build into your life. And it's what you do when you're in this building. I don't know how many times you've walked from that door to the donuts. That's not the problem. It's who you passed without looking. It's who was right here and you didn't see them. It's who was standing off on the side feeling out of place and you didn't approach them. Well, of course you didn't, because donuts. You tracking with me? Anybody getting a little uncomfortable? Oh, I hope so, or I'm going to start over. This is about you changing your life. This is about you living your highest and best. And it won't be comfortable getting there. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 minutes right now. And you're going to speak to every person around you that you can reach in 2 minutes. And you're going to listen to what they say when you say, how are you? And if there's something there that indicates not so great, I want you to spend your whole 2 minutes right there. And if you're just standing there like this, and you see somebody who's not being spoken to, they are your assignment. And if you're an introvert, this is good for you. This is good for you. Because you have to be kind too. I don't have to be kind. I don't like people. No, you have to be kind too. 2 minutes. I want you to check on everybody who's around. Those of you in the back, you better get out of those seats. Walk into the crowd. Walk into the crowd, bar table people. What? It's not still Saturday night? No, it's not. Come on, stand up. 2 minutes. Ready? Go. Go. Thank you.
Where's Kendall?
Thank you for asking. She's better. She's better. She just felt a little uncomfortable still being in a crowd. Somebody hugs her wrong.
Yeah.
But she. So two screws holding two of her SI joints on both sides, plus some bone grafting. Yeah, she had quite a deal. But she's. Those of you watching online, this is a powerful moment. Don't let me lose you. Don't log off. I got a few more minutes on this teaching. I want you to hear it. This is good stuff. Church is alive. People care. All right now. I'm good. Thank you. Are you good? Thank you. All right. All right. I've lost control. All right, everybody back. Everybody back. Everybody back. I started it, didn't I? Everybody back. I've got to ask you a question. I know. Can you hear me? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How many of you feel that energy? Like that's different, right? Yeah, that's different energy. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you where that energy was. Let me tell you where that vibrational frequency was. It was in you. All you did was share it. All you did was share it. And by sharing it, you multiplied it. And you felt it in this room, didn't you? Did you feel that?
Yes.
You're making me work, and that's not kind. That's very unkind. Strategy number one, look for the moments of kindness because they're everywhere. Strategy number two, make the move, don't be asked. So here's what I want you to do. Next Sunday, you just do that. Don't wait for me to prompt it. Just do that. Come in, especially look for the person that's alone. Especially pay attention to people's facial expression because there may be some pain. I know there's pain in this room. I know there is. Find those people. Just say, hey, just want to check in on you. Can I hug you? Could I say, could I pray with you for a minute? You'd be surprised what you could do in 2 minutes. What you could do in 2 minutes. Make the move. Don't wait to be asked. Two guys in Jesus' story made no move toward that wounded man. The Bible says they passed him by. Only one man lived the life that he was created to live, and that was the Samaritan. Karen Horney has written about personality theory, and she said there's basically three personality types. She said there are the people who move against others, and then there are the people who move away from others, and then there are the people who move towards others. And we see this in the story. I mean, Jesus illustrates it. The thieves moved against that guy, robbed him and beat him up. The two who passed by moved away from him. They just, other side of the road and kept on going. Only the Samaritan moved toward him. One writer kind of paraphrased her and said, there are people who beat up others and people who pass up others. And then there are the people who pick up others. Can I tell you, I have been all three of those. Days I haven't done it well. But on the days where I feel God operative in my life and I am allowing him to control, those are the days I do more picking up. Those are the times I am aware and I start doing more moving toward. Mother Teresa said, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile." God said, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted." Final point, and then we'll be done. Be extraordinarily kind. Be extraordinarily kind. There was a story in the Bible where Paul was shipwrecked, among others, and they grabbed like the broken boards and some of the cargo from the ship to float in the water so that they wouldn't drown. And the current took them to the island of Malta. And here's what Paul wrote about that experience. "The natives showed us extraordinary kindness." Now, I know I'm in your way over here. I'm blocking the word extra. "Showed us ordinary kindness." That was an option. That was an option. But they showed them extraordinary kindness. You know what extraordinary kindness is? You went out of your way. You went above and beyond. It wasn't as convenient. I got a text from a friend last night, and he said, "I really believe your breakthrough is about to happen, because I'm working on some things." And I thought that probably took him 10 seconds. But he went out of his way, had to pick up his phone, had to write the text. And it left Karen and I in tears, in a good way, because it encouraged us. It was just that extraordinary. Yeah? The natives. This is the picture of kindness. Like, if I could leave you with this image, this is the image. They kindled a fire. So you got to know, coming out of the sea, you're cold. That's some cold water. And to see a fire, I bet they just crawled to it. I bet they, helped get the, like, to see a warming fire. This is who you're supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be. In this cold-hearted world, you be a warming fire. That's the picture of kindness. Think about the Samaritan. He gave his time. He gave medicine. He gave transportation. He cared for the man through the night. He gave money. Listen, he couldn't do everything. He didn't solve the crime problem on that notorious stretch of road, but he did what he could, and he did it extraordinarily. Some time ago, a person I know who had a thick head of hair. Oh, you'd be surprised how I have to fix things up here. Had the best hair, like the kind you're jealous of, right? And he showed up bald. He said, "Dude," like I just looked. I didn't say anymore. I said, "Dude," looked up at his. He said, "Yeah, my friend is going through chemo. Lost all his hair. So I just thought I'd shave my head to be in solidarity." And I thought, oh, you got to add the word extra onto ordinary. That's what Jesus is talking about. What I want us to do is get to the end of this story. The story of the Good Samaritan started because a man asked Jesus, like, "Who really, is my neighbor here? What does it really mean to live the life I'm supposed to?" So Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "So tell me, who was the true neighbor in this story?" And the man said, "The one who treated him kindly." And Jesus said, "That's the right answer." We're 6 weeks now into our study about the fruit of the Spirit. And I wonder where you are on this. I don't know if you remember, like when I was a little boy, sort of the decorator touch that a lot of people had in their house. And I remember, I'm old, so this is a long time ago. But you had a bowl of plastic fruit on the dining room table. Anybody remember that waxy looking? Everybody had it. Don't be that. You know, don't look good on the outside and be plastic on the inside. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. And then don't think about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't think about those attributes as these are all for me. Think of yourself rather as a free farmer's market. Producing the fruit, giving it away. Producing the fruit, giving it away. You're not plastic. You're not selfish. You share what you have. God says, don't keep it to yourself. Don't be fake. But share the fruit day by day. How many of you would agree our world needs it? Desperately needs it. When you let God do his work in you, when you let God produce this in you, and when you freely just share these attributes, then you're beautiful. Then you are your highest and best self. It's who God created us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you for that time of kindness we had as a community. Thank you for the power and energy of that. That was so beautiful to watch. But now, Father, it doesn't stop here. Heaven forbid that we only do it here. Help us to go out and be dispensers of kindness in an increasingly unkind world. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen.